I probably over the next few Sundays, of course, I won't preach every Sunday, but I'm going to talk about, Jesus. You know, you might want to call it discovering Jesus. And of course, if you're going to do this, you start out with Christ our Redeemer, you know. But really, it's only when we understand who Jesus really is and what he did for us at Calvary that anything we read in the Word of God that makes sense. Let me understand what I'm saying to you. Because it's in a chronological form. He came, he lived, he died, he rose again, he went to the Father, and because of that, we have a Redeemer, Christ our Redeemer. Now, we're going to go to the book of Job. Now, that may sound funny, but it is one of the oldest books in the Old Testament. And most scholars believe that Job lived sometime during the patriarchal era of the Old Testament. In the middle of all of his disaster, he made a statement in Job 19:25. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on earth. Now, in the midst of his trouble, he was longing for the Redeemer who was in heaven. He said, for I know my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on earth. You know, Job had a lot of troubles. I mean, raiders came in, stole all of his livestock, and, fire came down from heaven and killed the sheep and stuff, and probably lightning, you know. I mean, you don't know for sure, but it could have been. And his daughters and sons were killed when the house got blown away. And we would probably liken that to a tornado around here because we understand a tornado. And then he had boils all over himself. His wife even told him, said, curse God and die. His friends told him that he was all messed up and done wrong. That's why he was in all this trouble. And not any of that was so. But in the midst of his trouble, he said, I know my Redeemer lives. I believe that he was looking forward to the time. And I believe that's a prophetic statement that he was looking. He said, but the Redeemer at last, and he shall stand at last on the earth. He is speaking of Christ would come and would be here on the earth. But, I'm sure when he was making some of these statements about God and about the Redeemer, I don't think that he really felt like that he was anywhere near him right at that particular moment. But actually, he was stating that the Redeemer lives and the Redeemer would come. You know, sometimes people, he was longing for the time when Christ would come to the earth. You know, I've heard people say it as I was growing up. People would say, talk about the good old days. And I don't know about today how people talk, but when I was growing up and they talk about the good old days. Well, I tell you what, I was a kid, I was then a teenager. And I thought, well, my soul, how could it be good? When I was younger, 5, 6, 7, I was at my grandpa's farm out on the farm, and they didn't even have electricity because the rural electrical system wasn't even put in yet. And then as I got older and we were living, and I remember in 1955 when we got our first window air conditioner. You know, and I was thinking, man, are you people thinking the good old days? You know, and And I looked at some of their cars and looked at the cars of that day, and I thought, man, it, you know. And look today, somebody might talk about what we had yesteryear, but hey, technology has gone, you know, so far. In fact, you know, one of the grandsons said to their one of their parents, you know, because she was talking about, I believe it was Denise, and is talking about something, and they said, well, how did you listen to music? Because they didn't have the, you know, didn't have whatever, the, all that stuff, you know. But, you know, and then even in the church circles, as I was growing up, people would talk about the good old times. And even today, as you get to talking to people, they will talk about camp meetings of yesteryear. And thank God for all that. It was great. We had, but hey, Christ is still the same Christ he was in 1978 and 79 when we were downtown in those big camp meetings. How many of you is there? Hey, but it's still the same. He's still the same. But too many people are dwelling on yesteryear. The good news is that the Redeemer is here. And he's still the same. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through the blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Then in Colossians 1:13-14 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son of love, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of sin. The redemption is forgiveness of our sins. And Christ paid the price for our ransom when he shed his blood on Calvary's hill. You say, well, what are you talking about? You see, the devil kidnapped all of God's people that he had created when Adam did what he did in the Garden of Eden. And now, and Paul said that the devil is the god of this world. So Jesus came to change that. Adam Clark, in his commentary, says, redemption consists in forgiving and delivering us from our sins so that Christ's blood was the redemption price paid down for our salvation. That Greek word there, according to Dr. Joannes Lahore, somebody, anyway, I can't pronounce all the names. The Greek word meaning redemption here is to release or set free. Maybe you could make it an analogy of the process of freeing a slave. And then F.F. Bosworth says, the gospel is a worldwide emancipation proclamation of liberty from service and bondage to the old tyrant master of sin and sickness, the devil. I think I quote that in one of my books. Christ is our Redeemer. He paid the price so you don't have to pay that price. He paid the price so you could be free and not be bound by sin, sickness, and lack. You know, if you listen to some people, they are asking God for things that Christ has already purchased with his redemptive act on Calvary. You know, they're begging for healing or begging for finances. And actually, the Word of God says in Matthew 8:17, himself took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses. And he's just quoting from Isaiah. But then Peter says it like this in 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes we were healed. Paul says all of our needs have been met according to his riches in glory. Many times, many people are praying for things that all they need to do is start confessing by faith what the Word of God already says belongs to them. How many of you have seen people that are asking for things that the Word of God says already was theirs? I mean, you know, that would be like, you know, if my son, I helped him get a car, and now, I tell him, hey, you can use the car anytime you want to, my car maybe, before we help him get one. And then he comes and starts begging me, oh, Dad, can I use the car? God, I want to go over here. I already told him it would be useless to come and start begging me to use the car, wouldn't it? Huh? Well, it is useless to start asking God for things that Jesus has already purchased through the redemption on Calvary. We just need to go and take advantage of it. See, if I've already told him he could use the car, all he needs to do is come and say, hey, Dad, I'd like the keys. I'd like to use the car. You said that if I could use it anytime I wanted to, and I need to use it. Hey, do you see the difference between the two? Come on now. Y'all awake or y'all asleep already? You know, some people always talking about in the sweet by and by. You know, or won't it be wonderful over there? I mean, when I was a kid, they used to sing some song, won't it be wonderful over there? Well, it will be. But the problem is that people are not realizing that it can be wonderful right here while they're living right now because of what Christ did, the redemptive act that Christ paid on Calvary's hill. You know, Jesus made all of these things that the Word of God says available to us because he went to the cross, he died, but he rose again. And he's alive in heaven right now. You know, he did that we might have life and have it more abundantly. He tells us that in John 10:10. You know, when you really start to get a hold of what Christ did for us and what we have in Christ, it'll change everything about you. You know, the redemptive realities. The devil cannot rob you of all of the blessings of God's word if you know what the word says. Hello. We must understand what he has redeemed us from. We must understand this. And Galatians 3:13-14. Galatians 3:13-14. Christ has redeemed us. Has. Is that past tense, present tense, or future tense? What? What? Then it says Christ has. That's something that's already been done. From the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed everyone hanging on a tree. That, and here's a real key that people don't get a hold of, that the blessing of Abraham might come on to Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. These verses describe something that had already happened. In the past tense of God's word, I say this in the book out there, everything that is in the past tense in the Word of God is God's will for you now. Not sometime in the future. How many of you have ever seen good Christian people, but they're always looking for the promise of God that's already been theirs, but they're looking for it and say, oh, one of these days. It's going to really be great. How many of them know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever heard that? Thank God for the 33 people that raised their hand. I know more of you than that, but you know. Because of his redemptive work on Calvary, of course, number one is salvation. Number two is healing. Number three is protection and deliverance. Number four is well-being. Those are exactly what Christ has redeemed us from. You know, there's an answer that's found here in the expression, curse of the law. This refers to the Mosaic law that was spelled out in the Pentateuch. Of course, that's the first five books of the Bible. And when you go back to, and especially in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, and begin to read, you find out that the curse was threefold. It was spiritual death. My dad has a book out there called Redeemed, from death, sickness, and poverty. And here is the thing that people don't get a hold of. When they see the word death, you, in the Word of God, you have to distinguish whether it is meaning spiritual death or natural death. It says that we were dead in our trespasses and sin. Well, you wasn't dead. You was breathing. How many of you were breathing when you got saved? Yeah. You were alive, right? But you were dead spiritually. You accepted Christ as your personal Savior. You become alive spiritually to God. Okay. Now, He has already redeemed us. Verse 14 says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Through Christ's redemptive work, the blessings of Abraham became ours. How in the world is that possible? How in the world is that possible? We're redeemed from spiritual death, redeemed from sickness, redeemed from poverty. Abraham's blessings become ours because we become Abraham's seed. We're not the natural descendants of Abraham, but we become the spiritual descendants of Abraham. It said Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Right? Anybody ever read that? Okay. When we are born again, we get into the family of God. Abraham believed God and received. That's what we can do. Now, as we begin to look at this, look at this. The blessings of Abraham are ours. Well, when we study that, it says he was redeemed from the curse of the law. We went back, we saw what the curse of the law was. Spiritual death, sickness, and poverty. Okay? Now Abraham believed God and received blessing. Now look at Galatians 3:7. Galatians 3:7. Galatians 3:7. If you want to get a real insight into what I'm talking about, get that little book out there, Redeemed, Dad. Actually, that's where I'm getting a lot of what I'm talking about this morning from. Okay, how many of you read that book, Redeemed? All right, this will be a good refresher course for you, good memory course, okay? Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are the sons, or we could say the people of Abraham, and our children. That's the New King James. The NLT says it that way. The real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. Faith. Now let's go look at something else. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't have the blessing of Abraham if you don't have faith. Come on now, don't look at me like I fell out of a tree. I did, but I didn't hit my head. The real children of Abraham then are those who put their faith in God, who believe what God said in this word that Jesus did for us with his redemptive act on Calvary. That's the real children of Abraham. You can say that you're a child of Abraham. Not physically, not naturally, but spiritually. See, we need to understand some things. Some things in the Word of God we need to understand on the spiritual side. Some we need to understand on the natural side, okay? Now, let's look at Galatians 3:29. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If you are Christ, in other words, if you have been born again, then you become Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Let's read that from the NLT. Now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs and God, look at this. And God's promises to Abraham belong to you. And if you'll go back and study, you'll find out that the promise that he gave Abraham was he was redeemed from spiritual death, he was redeemed from sickness, and he was redeemed from lack or poverty. Christ went to Calvary to bear our sins. He went to Calvary. He suffered stripes on his back for our sickness. And I already quoted some of this, but Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 was looking forward, because it wasn't happening when he made this. This was a statement he was looking forward and saying, looking at the Messiah, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Not were, not going to be, are. Are is right now, present. Hello. You know, Isaiah got the telescope and looked way down the annals of time and saw the Messiah on that cross hanging by his hands with nails, by his feet with the nail in his feet, and the blood flowing and his back bleeding. The crown of thorns on his head with the blood flowing. And it says, there as he looked down through the telescope of time and he saw Christ on that cross, he said, there's our redemption. There's our deliverance. There's our freedom. And we can sing the song with many of the blessed people. When he was on the cross, I was on his mind. Because as Christ, when he said, it is finished, and he drew that last breath, he was looking down through the telescope of time, knowing that you were there to be dipped in that fountain, filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty sin. Aren't you glad for that very hour when you dip down and the blood of Jesus Christ redeemed you and set you free? And now you can live the life that God wants you to live. Galatians 1, 13 and 14 said, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of his Son, of his love, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins. You see, under the law, they had to kill that sheep every year and put blood on its head of the one and turn it loose, and it was the scapegoat. The others they'd sacrifice to God every year. But I'm going to tell you what, once the Lamb of God went to that cross and that blood was shed, then it was once and for all. And anybody came. You see, we're redeemed from sin. They were only covered for that 1 year. But we are covered for a lifetime if we live in line with what the Word of God says belongs to us. Now we have salvation. Why? Because of what Jesus did at Calvary. Now we have eternal life. Why? Because of what he did at Calvary. Now we have a destination. It's called heaven. But quit looking at the destination and begin to enjoy the journey to get there. You know, when we travel, sometimes we are so intent on getting to our destination that we miss a lot of the stuff that would be interesting along the way. I like history, and my wife will tell you, and the kids can tell you, that a lot of times when if we had an opportunity to go somewhere or something and I saw a sign, I'd stop and read the sign because there was a historical event. Is that right? Is that right? Yeah, Craig's waving his hand, and Lynette waving her hand. Why? Because I'm trying to enjoy the journey to get to where we're going to have our vacation. How many of you have, a lot of times you're just so intent on getting to the destination where you're going to have your vacation, you forget to enjoy the trip along the way. A lot of Christians are that way. They're talking about heaven. Oh, won't it be wonderful there when we all get to heaven? Thank God. Yeah, it's going to be wonderful. And thank God heaven is real. But let me tell you what, I believe as we go on this journey that we can have a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in if we just stop and understand what Christ has done for us. You know, the redemption of Calvary has benefits. Any of you ever work somewhere where you have benefits? You know, they're, because I'm a veteran, there's some benefits that go along with that. Especially if you go to Branson. That may know what I'm talking about. In fact, we were somewhere, we went to eat at Payways the other day, Lynette and I did, and the girl, evidently she knew who we were. I think she's a church member, but I didn't want to say anything, and she didn't say nothing. But she said, were we a part of a club? And we said, no. And then she said, well, I'll give you the veterans discount. Okay. So that's an advantage. That's a benefit of serving Uncle and being in Uncle Sam's army. Hey, look at Psalms 103. 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, your sins. Who heals all your diseases. Who redeems you from your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Man, I want you to notice these benefits. Salvation and forgiveness. Healing. Redemption. Long life. I like that 91st Psalm. The last verse says, with long life. I intend to get that. Long. Y'all gonna have to put up with me a long time. You know, if you don't know what your benefits are, you can't take advantage of them. You know, most companies give you out some kind of manual, employee manual, and in that it tells you the benefits. But if you don't read it and find out what the benefits are, you can't take advantage of it. God, give us a manual right here. It tells us everything that belongs to us that we can take advantage of, but you can't take advantage of the benefits if you don't know what they are. Come on now. Hello. Let me say some things that a couple things you can do to possess. First of all, number one, just like I said, you got to know what your rights and privileges are in Christ. John 8, 31, 32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in me and my word, if you abide in my word, and you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, there's a saying that goes around that says ignorance bliss. I don't think that's true. Because what you don't know many times will keep you from getting everything that belongs to you. It's critical, very critical, that we understand all of the benefits that came to us because of Christ dying on Calvary. You know, let me ask you a question. Before you knew what the word said, how many of you were sick? Come on, let's see. Yeah. Before you knew what the word said, how many of you were in lack? Before you knew what the word said, how many of you were not living in the joyful life? But once you found Jesus and found the Word of God, has it all changed? Yes. Another thing we need to know, we got to have our faith and use our faith to possess it. Of course, the two scriptures, you know, if you say with your mouth, believe with your heart, you'll have what you say. That's just a paraphrase of 23. 24 says, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I want you to notice that you believe you have it. What the redemptive work of God has done, you believe you have it when you can't see it, when you can't feel it. But you still believe it because the Word of God says, if you believe, you'll receive. Come on now. You know, we need to really understand and think about the redemptive work of Jesus at Calvary. We talk about Calvary, we talk about it, but do we really understand the complete ramifications of everything that took place? That was God taking back his man or his persons that he created, that the devil stole, and Jesus on Calvary provided a way that God could now have fellowship with the people he created, man and woman, because that's why he created them in the first place. You go and read it there. He would come down and walk and talk with them. But when the devil did what he did, mankind was annihilated from God. But through Jesus Christ and the redemptive act that happened on Calvary, mankind can now have fellowship with God. Maybe not right now, not in the natural sense like he did with Adam and Eve, but in a spiritual sense, we all can fellowship and talk with God. Amen? You know, it's time that you begin to boldly proclaim about who you are in Christ. Everybody stand up. I preached long enough. Say this with me. Christ has redeemed me from spiritual death, from sickness, from lack. I receive those things in my life now. I believe because of the redemptive act of Jesus on Calvary that I can live in the blessings of God. The blessings of God are mine because I am a descendant of Abraham. And the word says that Abraham's blessing belonged to me. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and thank God for the redemptive act of Calvary. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead.
Hallelujah. Praise the one who paid the price. And I've been talking about it. Raised us up from death and give us all the blessings of God. Amen and amen and amen. Where did you get anything out of this morning? I know most of you have heard this before, but sometimes it's good to get reminded. In fact, Peter said as long as he was in his body, he was going to keep reminding his followers of the things that he had taught them. Did you ever read that in Peter over there? Oh, man. Bow your heads for just a moment. If you happen to be in this place this morning and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, are you in this place today and you know what it is to accept Christ, but you're just gone astray and you need to rededicate your life? Are you here this morning? You know, you say, I am born of the Spirit, but I've never been filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine. I'm talking about what the Bible says. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them that utterance, Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Let me see your hand right now. You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me see your hand. Anywhere in the room, I can't pray for you if I don't know who you are. So let me see. Upstairs, downstairs. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't see any hands. Let's thank God that everybody in here today knows Jesus Christ. And let's say, Lord, if there's somebody that should have responded, Holy Spirit, go with them. And don't let them be comfortable until they accept you. I feel like there's some that are watching, need to accept Christ, and there's some of you need to rededicate your life to God. With this congregation, repeat this prayer after me with this congregation. If that's you, reach your hand out toward your screen. Say this with the Heavenly Father. Thank you for Jesus. I believe he died for my sin. And I thank you now as I ask you to forgive me. And I confess Jesus Christ as Lord. That my life is changed now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with us, just go to rhema.org and let us know about it. All right? Praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. Don't forget all the announcements. Connection team, would you go find our guest and take them out to the lobby so that they can get a special gift that we've got prepared for them. Tonight, 6 o'clock, be here. Listen, I'm going with the crusade team. Anthony's one of them. We're going to go catch an airplane, and we're going to go to Florida, Kissimmee, Florida, for Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. If you know people in that area, let them know about it. We're going to be at the forgot what the name of the church is. Kenneth Estrada's church there. Kenneth and Lynette Estrada.
Kingdom Life
Church in Kissimmee, okay? And then we're going over to Savannah, Georgia to...
The Seed Church,
okay? In Savannah, Georgia. Y'all can hear them, but I can't because there's no monitors up here, so you can't hear nothing that there's being said back there, okay? Praise the Lord. Well, be here tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night right here. I'm going to barrel down that aisle right there and try to beat you to the door, but you're not supposed to leave till he tells you to. We're going to sing. We'll see y'all next Sunday morning. All right. God bless.